saw Fiona Strain. Welcome.
Thank you.
Look, Fiona was one of my very first editing teachers, so, you know, at some level I'm her fault. has cut many, many things, including Liberal Rule, which, is that what you're working on now?
No, that's done. And dealt with
the Politics That Changed Australia, The Science of Teens. We got to talk about that. Oh. Okay, I've got teens now, you've got teens. We'll talk about Defining Moments, and Elizika.
Elizika, yep.
Elizika. Many years of editing experience, mostly in DOCO, but also some drama, and also some interesting teaching experience.
Yes, yes.
So what about this dark art and what you can say? I mean, because when you're teaching, are you able to, like, what can you communicate to somebody about editing, about...
I think heaps, because I've just actually done a nice little teaching gig in Myanmar, where I was teaching complete beginners, and the beginners were doing the actual filmmaking part, and we had first-time editors. I had edited through a workshop, but what I found really interesting was that they were all kind of technically just competent. They kind of just knew how to put things together, but creatively they really had no clue about how to work with the director. What they can ask of the director, what they can say. They didn't know what their role was, and they didn't know what the director's role was. And I suddenly realised that they're kind of floundering, not really because they don't have technical skills, but because they don't have the communication skills to work the edit up.
Right.
You know, to say, well, what did you want from what you shot? What were your ideas when you were filming this? It's not just the politics of it, but which person was the most important character here? So part of what I then did was say, okay, well, let's stop editing for a while now. Let's talk about workflow, and let's just run through what does it mean when you watch rushes? What are the questions you ask? What are you looking for? What do you look at in a rough cut? What are you trying to do to get an assembly? What are you trying to do when you're getting a rough cut? All those steps and the way you're looking at the film and the edit at each of those stages is quite different. So we did that, and suddenly we started getting films that were able to be telling a story and weren't just kind of like, oh, I've got everything here, let's sort of cut everything and make
a big one of each kind of
thing.
So what about how? What are you able to draw on from your experience in order to? I mean, what are you looking for when you look for rushes? What are you, you know? do you have experiences of doing this over time that have taught you how to look at things in that way?
And I think, you know, for me, I always... I don't look too far. I just see what I find is interesting. You know, what is it that sparks my interest when I'm watching these rushes? And I still go by the old write down, you know, notes while I'm watching rushes. I watch everything. I listen to everything because I've often found a bit of audio saves my bacon. That might be in a bit of dialogue that's off screen, and the director will say, look, you can't use that, it's all awful, forget about it. It's like, well, hang on, he's saying something, and that's actually critical to explain what he's doing. So I'll note that audio, I'll use it in the edit and help drive. It helps drive maybe the next scene and introduce something that wasn't introduced in any other way.
So do you think that you have learned, like developed a special kind of sensitivity to what's in, you know, to finding things and thinking about how they're going to come together?
I don't know whether it's innate or whether it's learned. I think you do sort of start to get confidence in seeing things and not being shy to put ideas out and to say, yeah, I think this is good, let's run with it. Because also part of what you're doing is giving the director confidence, because the director will often come in and say, oh, you know, that same thing. It's like they really think a day didn't work because what they saw on the day, there was some argument with the crew or there's something really bad went on. And I'm only seeing, you know, I really go by that first audience thing. I'm the first audience. I'm the one sort of seeing it for the first time and seeing whether it can be understood, seeing whether there's something missing that the audience won't make a link with. And I'll Yeah, I feel I'm there to give the director confidence in that his material's working or not, and if it's not, to come up with ideas to help resolve it. So if they can go and do pickups or if they can find another way to fix it, because there's always some way to fix it.
So can I just throw this out to the assembled company of people who are editors and interested in editing? Because I think this is a really interesting question in editing. Innate or learnt? This sensitivity to this ability to see what's there and to separate it from all of the, you know, all the hopes and dreams of the director, all of the, in, you know, to be able to find it and know that it's gonna help you tell the story. Hands up, innate. Hands up, learned. Hands up, both. Both. Okay. So then, let's say, for example, it's both. All right. Good.
Yep, yep.
Is it? Does it? Does it grow? Does it change? Like, are you better now than you were?
I think it's confidence. I think I'm better in articulating and understanding.
I can't hear you.
I've said I was better at articulating things. Sorry. Yes, I think I have got better over time, and but it's a bit for me. Yeah, it's a personal confidence thing, and it's about getting to understand each film too, and what the director wants out of each as well. Because you do need to play the film by what the director wants and balance it so that you're not driving it down the wrong alley too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that dance between the director and the material, has that gotten better too? Or are you more? Is it easier or?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know. I don't think I've really had any difficulties. I think I tend to communicate well with directors most of the time. So it's really, it is about having a conversation. I really believe in sort of sitting with the director early and really getting to understand them and how what they want. Because treatments and scripts that you get for a documentary, often they're written for the funding bodies. They're very detailed. They give you a lot of information, which is based on the research that's been done. And I've been given scripts and been told to cut to this. And it's like, well, no, this isn't what you've got. I mean,
it's not what happened.
You can't drive it the way it was dreamed. You have to drive it the way it comes to you. So.
And that's your art, is finding what is there, even if it isn't what was dreamed.
Yeah, that's right. And finding those new characters who are surprises and that can throw things a completely different direction to where you thought it would go.
That's so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And not being afraid to delete people as well.
Ouch.
Because there's a preciousness about it, and particularly if you've been working really hard on a cut or the director's really attached to someone, it's always a big moment and sometimes it's a massive revelation to say, well, actually, if we got rid of this person or that whole scene, it will work better. And it does.
Yes.
And you go, there's a big relief, and that sometimes that's the accelerator that will make the film just kind of race to the finish once you start getting rid of the precious things that you don't need anymore.
So is that what is your favorite part of an editing process? Is it the hunt, or is it the revelation, the aha moment, or
I like both the top and the tail. The middle can always be a struggle, because the beginning you're relaxing, you're watching, you're enjoying everything, and the possibilities are huge, and then you start finding it down, and it can get overwhelming, because which way do you go, this way or that way? And, you know, how big do I make my rough cut or my assembly? You know, because I actually cut too tightly at the beginning. I've often been, you know, sort of made it too compact, and I have to open it out.
Because you want to get there.
I want to get there. I just want to get that cut done. And so sometimes I've missed really good moments, and I've had to sort of go back in and put some of those precious moments in, and then other times I kind of make it a bit loose and say, holy dooly, this is just like someone rambling, let's just so I like the bit when it starts to talk to you, you know, because once you start getting the edit in place and you start getting it down the right direction, it tells you what should go and what should stay. And the lovely bit, I love that bit when you know, let's say you've got to make it 52 minutes, and for a while you think, I can't make it any less than 60, it's just, you know, nothing can go. And then you just take your chop at things and think, look, okay, he's not important. It's, oh, hang on, that doesn't really matter anymore. Okay, da da da. And somehow it becomes what it's meant to be. And it's, I don't know, as I say, there is some accelerator in there towards the end that just takes it where it's meant to go. So.
Yeah. So I said earlier that editors don't talk a lot, and you just said something really interesting, and it tells you what it means. Do you think maybe that you editors are good listeners, like they're listening to the material a lot?
And the director, and in your screenings. I mean, what Andrea said about having screenings often with people you trust to give you feedback. I mean, I'll find often in a screening you'll get. Yeah, number one, never be scared of a screening, never be scared of criticism. It's just so important because people will come in and they'll often be opinionated. You'll get these sort of opinionated about your film, you'll get the people who want to give you creative advice, and you'll get the people that, you know, won't have anything to say, but they just kind of don't like something. And so your job is also to interpret the feedback and to say, well, okay, they didn't like that, but that scene's actually really important. But what does that mean? Ah, okay, that means that the setup's not been done correctly, that character's not introduced properly, or, that scene, we've actually skipped a whole bit because I've got knowledge, the director's got knowledge, we have assumed knowledge about things and the audience doesn't. So you've got to remember or realise, okay, well, what dots do the audience need to connect to this story? So that's very much a part of that.
So the listening, when somebody gives a piece of criticism, it isn't necessarily useful to... directly, it's not like, oh, yes, they're right, that seems no good, but it is useful for them to have pointed to that place, and then you can ask, well, why?
Why isn't that working? Oh, it's because we didn't actually explain what that scene is about back there,
back
so it's
there,
about finding those elements to build it.
To build it, too. So fearless listening.
Fearless listening. Fearless,
Strain.
Across the board,
Fearless listener. That's fantastic. So just sort of briefly, two final follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. One, what has it meant to you to be an ASE? Is that given you some kind of feeling like that's cool?
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah,
really cool.
No, look, all you people here. It's wonderful to be part of a group because it's. I work at home. I have an edit suite at home, and I've often said it's like it's a little whirlpool, a little inverted circle. I kind of start big, and then I just get smaller because it's just me at home, and I've got no one to talk to. And so it gets very isolated, and it's really nice to sort of get out and to be with a bunch of people and talk about stuff.
Guild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And now you have a family,
which is
Surprisingly unusual. I mean, there aren't that many. I'll just get a little politics in here. There are not as many women ASEs as there are men by a long shot. It's about 25% to 75%.
Really?
It's close,
wow.
Yeah. And of those women who are ASEs, not that many have families.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things we might want to be a little bit political about at some point. But for you, would you let your children become editors?
Well, what can I say? my daughter is now a producer, so I just say I've bred my own sort of job security because she can give me my next job. I've cut three of her short films
and they're
now.
Good too.
They're good, and
they're
she's
good.
Great.
She's a good producer. No, that's a really good thing. So, film industry is okay. Editor, maybe not. We'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think any of my kids have the temperament to be an editor anyway. But
all right. Okay. Interesting. So, all right. All right. Fiona Strain, Fearless Listener. Thank you very much.